Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
We're in the mode that we've been in for the past few weeks, talking about watching. Jesus speaking of the day of the Lord, the day of the return of the Lord. He says, but of that day and hour, from verse 32, I'm sorry, this is Romans 9:32, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. You know, that's such a powerful scripture, a scripture that covers every Christian, every believer that ever was or ever will be. I say this to you, I say it to all, watch. You know, so one of the main functions of our Christianity is to be watching. Watching for what? The return of Christ, yes, I think the return of Christ, but the answer to your prayer. I think he wants you to be watching for danger. Yeah. I think he wants you to be watching in the spirit, which is a skill set. Watching in the spirit is a skill set. It's something you learn to do. Having your mind set on God is something that you have to learn to do. It does not come naturally. Because naturally, your mind fixes itself on whatever is most important to you, or whatever is the day's issues, or what you like or you don't like, or the TV show you watched, or, you know, whatever it is. And when Jesus is saying his watch, he's saying, I want you to develop a skill set. I want you to develop a skill set whereby you are spending time alone. That's why Jesus said, go into your inner room, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Because you're in your inner room, and you're watching. And it's not a natural thing for us to do. You know who knows how to watch? Hunters know how to watch. Good hunters know how to watch. One of the reasons I've never been a great hunter. I get out in the woods, I get in a tree stand, or I get behind a rock somewhere, sitting somewhere, and I really get bored. You know, like, there ain't no deer in these woods, you know, and stay there for a while, and I say, oh, that spot over there, that looks a little better, and, you know, but it takes watching. It takes a certain stance, a mental stance to watch. And when you're watching the invisible kingdom of God, that if you read your Bible, you will find out is heavily animated with all kinds of beings, demonic, angelic, the Holy Spirit, and God himself speaking from heaven. Our job is to learn to watch. And if you have not never cultivated, many Christians feel like coming to church is their watching time. You know, this is not really your watching time. This is equipping time. This is encouraging time. It's and hopefully a little inspiration, a little education, a little, you know, just encouragement to move forward in your faith. But your faith has to be your faith. You have to own this belief system. You have to own it. And you have to take Jesus' words as words that were written to you. And you are responsible. You will be held responsible for what you personally have done with Jesus' words. You will be responsible. You know, what is God going to do with people who don't have Bibles or who didn't have Bibles? I've run into people all the time who say, well, I really don't like to read. And you know what I have to say to that? Very calmly, thousand pardons, Saeed. Tough. Tough. You got a Bible. You know how to read. We're a literate society. If you don't know how to read, learn to read. If you don't like reading, stop not liking reading. Like to read. Like to be interested in Jesus. Like to be interested in him. Well, I'm really not interested. I'm really not all that interested. Tough. Because this life, that's what this life is about, him. This life is about him. What you do for your vocation, for your entertainment, all those things, comprises a full life. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to stand in line one day and you're going to say, I never knew that all of my life was about him. It's serious. So what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watching is staying alert in the spirit, in your mind. Setting your mind on the things of God. It's looking and anticipating God. It is not simply imagination. You know? I mean, I remember when Kenneth Hagin's Rhema Bible Training Center was a big thing when we first got saved. Kenneth Hagin would say on his TV show sometimes, he'd say a guy would show up with a station wagon with 9 kids in the back and say, God told me to quit my job and to come to school here. He didn't have any money. He didn't have a job, you know, but it was a God told me. And so one of the mistakes that's not uncommon that people make is they become dependent on this inner voice that they call God. Right? And there are ways to determine whether it's God speaking to you or not. But when you're watching is when God does speak to you personally. When you do get a personal word from the Lord, when you're watching, when you're actually engaged in, you're only going to see that deer. You know, what was it? A couple of years ago, I think. I'm using the hunting metaphor because I'm not really a big hunter, though I'd like to be. In my mind, I'd like to be. One year I happened to go out hunting, and I went out to Millbrook, and there's this place out in Millbrook where you state trails where you walk, and I didn't like normal. I didn't see anything, and the woods were as dead could be. And guy came up to me and said, man, oh man, I got that big 12 pointer this year, that one that's on your property every single morning. He said, you know, 8 o'clock when you let your little dachshund out, he said he chases that deer off every morning. And I'm traipsing over mountains and hunting and feeling like Davy Crockett, and I could have gone out in my pajamas and gotten that thing. You know, there's a skill set in watching and knowing when you're hearing from God, and when you're just being a psycho and doing some dumb thing because you said God said to do it. You know? All right. You know, patience is such a key. James says, let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work, which means what? It means that God doesn't answer you in your under your timetable. I have never, if I'm asking for something for real, you know, real significant, it always takes longer than I want it to. And your patience is always tested. You feel yourself falling over the cliff, the precipice, the ledge of end of your patience, because you want God to answer quicker. You want him to answer. And, you know, he's a God that promises his people anything they ask. I hate to tell you, but the promises of God are formidable to those who ask, to those who watch, to those who pray. So how do you learn all of this? Well, you got to read your Bible. If you don't really read or have a problem reading, then you get it on CD. Get it into you. Get the words into you. But if you're listening to the CD, don't be thinking about the other issues in your life. Let the word, drink the word deeply. It has to be, you have to be able to receive the word in depth. Listen, here's what I want. I want us to move from becoming theoreticians to practitioners. I think we have a lot of Christian theoreticians. If I ask you what you believe, you're going to tell me, well, I believe this about God, I believe that about God, I believe this about God, I believe that about God. I find very few Christian practitioners who actually take God's word and put it to work in their own lives and actually see the benefits. Psalm 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget your benefit plan. You get a car wreck. First thing you do is look for my insurance. What are my benefits? I'll just leave it wrecked. That's ridiculous. No, you have benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who heals all your diseases. Who delivers you. Who crowns you with loving kindness. You know, probably the worst disease that most Christians get? Complaining. Complaining. You know what? Complaining is a contagious disease. It never does you any good to complain about anything. Complaining doesn't do you any good at all. You can ask for help. You can go to God in your distress. You can go to your friend in your distress. You may have a person who can help you in a situation, but becoming a complainer poisons everyone around you. And it turns what's inside of you, the purity that's inside of you, it turns it rancid. You become a rancid individual, and you wonder why you don't have so many friends. This is a very friendly church. Maybe people are avoiding you because when they're around you, all you do is complain because you're rancid inside. It's a good word, rancid, isn't it? I haven't used that one in a while. We don't want to be religious theoreticians. Gosh, we have enough of them. We have enough of talkers. God, don't we have enough talkers? They got 24-hour TV stations with men with huge churches talking. Well, where are the practitioners? Where are the people who are helping their neighbors, loving their neighbors, giving up complaining, speaking inspiration, speaking encouragement, speaking good? Yeah? So I want us to move. I want us to make that move. So you got to know your Bible. It's where the Holy Spirit's source material. Holy Spirit's source material is your Bible. Almost always speaks to you in Scripture. Know your Bible. Need to know Jesus. You do that in a closet. Whatever your closet is, might be outside, I don't know. Wherever you are, where you can be alone, and you could talk with him, and you can have a conversation with him. You need to open your mouth. You need to use words. Whatever your native language is, you need to use words to speak to Jesus, to speak to God. We praying in your mind and all of that kind of stuff, that's all fine and everything, but a prayer is actuated when it's spoken. Jesus says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, but don't doubt it in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, when you pray, believe that you've received it and you'll have it. That means your praying is saying. I get in a lot of trouble for that teaching, because a lot of people want to just say, no, I'm with God inside my heart, you know. How does he know what you're thinking? God knows everything. So then why don't you say it? You learn more about yourself through your prayer life than you do through any other way. You learn more about yourself in your prayer life than any other way. If the highest height of your desires is it like a Ducati, you know, or a fast car or a cool thing, man, you're not the higher order human being that you're called to be. Because there's so much hurt and so much need, there's so much disease, there's so much pain in this world. That we should be driven to do something about it. So that your highest hopes is that you can be established and sustained enough to be able to help other people. Life doesn't even get good until it's about helping other people. If it's about getting your new thing, I like getting new stuff. I'm an American boy. Used to be an American boy. Now I'm an American old guy. But life is not about what we can get, what we can acquire materially. Paul and Silas are in that jail cell. They couldn't be any happier. Because they're in the will of God. They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They got the right response. They beat them and they threw them in jail for it. For telling them the truth. They said, we really hit a home run. They got so mad at us, they arrested us and threw us in jail. They beat us with rods. What a great day. What a great day to be alive. Because I would rather preach to them, know that I got to their heart so much so that it enraged them. They threw me in jail because at least I know I'm having an effect on somebody. We don't always spend our lives, we don't affect anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah, they're really all getting saved that way. Colossians 3 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. How do you seek them? How do you seek a deer in the woods? You gotta seek Him. You gotta read your Bible. You gotta, you know. Philippians 2, therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. It's funny that Paul says that, right? He said, you were obedient in my presence, but it's been his experience that not everybody is obedient in his absence. The man of God comes around, right? But once he's gone, it's back to the old golden calf. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This ain't Disney World. What we're talking about here, what we're doing here in church, it ain't Disney World. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling means there are many traps for you that you must be cognizant of, to be aware of, that the devil is looking to steal your salvation. So therefore, you work it out with fear and trembling, understanding what? Your own weakness. Understanding your own tendency toward weakness. He says, the reason is, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for good, his good pleasure. And whether you know it or not, whether you allow him not to or not, God is inside of you right now working to will and to do of his good pleasure. He sees the done you. He sees the sculpture after it's been made, not the half chipped away block of marble that you are. He sees your future. He's working to will and to do of his good pleasure in you, to create a masterpiece, to create a museum piece. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Stop complaining. You poison everybody around you with your complaining. Poisons everybody around you. You have a real hard time in life once in a while. Listen, I'm not talking about perfect or anything like that. But becoming a whiner, you know, it becomes a personality trait. You complain, they may want to come around you. They may still want to come around you because then they can say, at least there's somebody who has it worse off than me. Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, that's a big excuse. We live in this horrible generation. There are drugs and sex, everything. You know, who could ever be a Christian here? Yeah, the Bible says you're supposed to be able to do this in the midst of a crooked and corrupt generation. Perverse, crooked, corrupt generation. That you're supposed to be faultless, holy, blameless in the midst of a corrupt, crooked and corrupt generation. And then you're really different. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We typically complain about three things: pain, people, and pleasures. We complain about pain because we have pain, and James says, you know, let patience have its perfect work. He says, count it all joy when you suffer diverse temptations. Right? Count it all joy, pain. Count it all joy, pain. Count it all joy, pain, not complain, pain. Okay, I'm going to count it all joy, pain. How can I do that? Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Because if you're not in Jesus, you're every little pain, every little thing, every, you know. Jesus learned obedience through his sufferings, the Bible said. God can do anything. Put on the armor of God. Develop an inner strength, a strength of concentration and strength, so that you can watch and pray. You won't even notice the pain. And the people, I don't know what's worse, pain or people, what can be painful. Or our desire for pleasures can be painful. Everybody else has got the new thing. I don't have the new thing. I want the new thing. Why don't I have the new thing? Can I have the new thing? Now there's the iPhone 47XYZ, you know, and I have got the 39 and a half. I am just, I feel like impoverished. I feel like, you know, I'm in the Bowery, you know. I got to have the one, the better one than the other guy has. And you sometimes you'll find that there are people that are actually competing with you, because you'll get a nice thing, and then within 2 weeks they'll have a nicer thing. And it's just because they're having their own little competition against you, but you don't even know it. But then you feel that little burn of envy rise up in you. You know? And it's serious. Finally, 1 Peter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Arm yourself with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you learn how to walk in a suffering mode in your flesh with all the blessings of God on you, you cease from sin. Isn't that wonderful? That would be our testimony at the end of it all.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. In this episode, we continued our series based out of Mark chapter 13, verse 37. It reads, "What I say to you, I say to all, keep watch." Pastor shared about becoming a practitioner of our faith. There comes a time where the rubber has to meet the road, and all we say and think about our faith has to be done. Two things happen at this tipping point. We either stay stagnant in our faith, missing opportunities from the Lord, or we walk in obedience, sharing our testimony, and are used by God to alter others' eternity by pointing them to Jesus Christ. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins. I ask that you would cleanse me and make me whole. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross to pardon my sins, so that I may have an eternity with the Father. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Father, thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's word? You can give online at www.cmcconline.org. You can also find out more about Catskill Mountain Christian Center, On Fire Radio, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page, watch our Facebook live streams, and make sure you hit that like button. For Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.